two men who lived in a small village got into a terrible dispute and they couldn't work it out. It was about to become dangerous. But there was a wise sage in the village, and they agreed to both go and see the sage. The one guy went and explained his side of the story, and at the end of it, the sage said, "I think you're absolutely right." 2 days later, the other man went and explained his side of the story, and at the very end, the sage said, "I think you're absolutely right." His wife heard both stories, and she scolded him and said, "How is this possible? They both came and told two completely stories, and you said they were both right. That's impossible." And he said to her, "You're absolutely right." When there's confusion, God wants to give us clarity. The question is, will we be okay with what he's trying to speak to the depths of who we are? Or will we ignore him and go our own way? Let's pray. Jesus, help us to see our lives and the world the way you do. Some of the most meaningful things that we will do and say, most of the world will never know about. Give us the strength and courage to win the battle within, to do what we know is right. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text today comes from 1 John 3, verse 4 to 10. Ernie's going to put it on the screen for you. I'm going to read it to you. 1 John 3, 4 to 10. "Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he was revealed to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Everyone who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. Everyone who commits sin is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The Son of God was revealed for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. Those who have been born of God do not sin because God's seed abides in them. They cannot sin because they've been born of God. The children of God and the children of the devil are revealed in this way. All who do not do what is right are not from God, nor are those who do not love a brother or a sister." The Apostle John is writing the churches in Asia Minor with the goal of both instructing and encouraging them. They've experienced some disappointments from both inside and outside the church community. John affirms that there's only one place that we can find assurance, and that is in a relationship with Christ. Eventually, what is right and true is borne out in our lives through time. If we allow Christ to transform the interior of our lives, it'll become evident in our conduct. At times, it can feel like things are not happening fast enough in our lives or in the people's lives that we love. God is always at work, calling us, pursuing us. Can we trust him to work within the complexity of our lives and world? And if not, who or what will we turn to bring peace to our troubled hearts? 1 John 3, 4 to 8 reminded, there are two ways to go. Which way will we choose? Verse 4 starts by saying, "Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness." The New Living Translation puts it like this: those who sin are opposed to the law of God. In essence, we daily choose to follow the things that please God, or we decide to oppose him by how we live. To live without God at the center of our lives is to become antichrists, or those who oppose God's ways. The apostle continues in verse 5 by saying, "You know that Jesus came to take away our sins, and therefore there's no sin in him." Sin is not a good thing in our lives. Have you noticed? It will literally rot us out from the inside out, but ultimately it'll destroy us. Sin impacts us in our relationships with each other, as hostilities and hurt feelings are often present. It impacts our relationships with God, where we feel a great distance and a silence. There's an impact in the created world with tornadoes, earthquakes, fires, floods, and pollution. And finally, we're impacted as we're not at home in our own skin. We don't understand our purpose in this life. We were in need of a savior, a rescuer, someone who was not drowning in the cesspool of sin with us. This is where the Christ enters the scene, the sinless one who lays down his life to save us from spiritual death. Verse 6, no one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has either seen nor him or know him. Everything that God is in is purity and grace, not sin. The two have nothing in common with each other. To know God is to have nothing to do with sin, and to know sin is to have nothing to do with God. When Christ comes, his true light, the darkness cannot stay. It must flee his presence. We are not left alone on our own to try and figure this all out. Verse 7 and 8, John underlines this truth by how we live our lives. Verse 7, he says to these Christians, don't be deceived or fooled. Everyone who does what is right is righteous. To do what is right is often in the complete contrast with our desire to be selfish, to hoard, to cheat, to manipulate, to steal, to misrepresent, to slander, to gossip. It is God alone who gives us the strength and change of heart so we can love our neighbor as ourselves. That's not a natural thing. No one who's in an intimate relationship with Christ continues to purposely sin or jump back into the manure pile of sin. So if God is righteous in all his ways, Satan or the devil represents the opposite way of living. Verse 8 says, everyone who sins is a child of the devil, for the devil has been sinning since the beginning of time. The father of all sins is Satan, and his children will duplicate the same type of behavior, such as greed, pride, lust, a desire for control, not only in their lives, but others' lives as well. To take part in sin is to align ourselves with the devil and all his ways. The second part of verse 8 says, the Son of God has been revealed for the purpose of destroying the works of the devil. The Messiah, the Christ, came to free us from the penalty of sin and death and destroy the power of the enemy of our souls once and for all. Listen to these encouraging verses in Philippians 2:13. For God is working in you, giving you the desire to obey him and the power to do what pleases him. I'm going to say that again. This is not all on us. God is with us, Emmanuel. For God is working in you, giving you the desire to obey him and the power to do what pleases him. We're not on our own. Jesus gives us a desire and the power to follow God. When you feel yourself slipping, call out to the Lord. He loves you, and he wants to help you. As many of you know, I grew up on a mixed farm. We had cows, we had pigs, we had chickens, sometimes we had sheep, sometimes we had a horse. Anyway, we had a big pig pen with lots of pigs outside that was fenced, and we're forever fixing it. In the wintertime, sometimes something can come in the barn, all different type of things. But what happens with pigs is they root everything up. And so it went from a pig pen to a mud pen, especially if it rained. I saw pictures in earlier in life before my time, and there actually had been trees in this pen, large trees, but because they root everything up, they killed the trees. So it rains. So imagine the most enormous mud puddle ever. So I'm a little boy, and I decide I'm going to cross it. I got about 15 feet in. The mud was up to my rubber boots, and I was stuck by the suction, and I had nowhere to go, and there was just a pig waiting to run by and eat me any second. And so I started crying out, help! Somebody, anybody, save me. It took about 15 minutes of calling out for help. I only have 5 siblings. Finally, one of my sisters came slowly, and board by board, plywood, board by board, she made it all the way out to where I was. She pulled me out of my boots, set me on the wood, and I walked and got out of the pen as she tried to pull my muddy boots out of the mud. Even though I had been rescued, every day thereafter I had to decide if I wanted to attempt to walk through the muddy pig pen again. Every day we need to decide if we're going to walk the path of sin and death or if we're going to be obedient to God. In 1 John 3, 9-10, we're challenged to choose to do what we know is right. Verse 9 starts by saying, those who have been born of God do not sin because God's seed abides in them. Or as the New Living Translation says, they have been born into God's family because of the life of Christ in them. We must be like Christ daily, choosing the things of God and staying away from the things that would drag us back into the pig pen of sin. As Gordon Smith has said, there's a big difference between having remorse for sin and camping in sin with no regard for the outcome and no desire to change. There's a big difference when we're fighting the temptation and sin that's coming our way to opposed to not caring and jumping in with both feet. Just like our Heavenly Father is perfect, and Jesus lived a sinless life, so we're called to live likewise. We want to honor God and please Him in everything that we do or are a part of. Things that we know that God would have nothing to do with, but then we continue on believing we can ask for forgiveness later. The passage makes it clear that when we sin, we ally ourselves directly to the one who has sinned from the beginning, and that's the devil. Verse 10 concludes the passage, identifying how we can know who God's children are opposed to those who are the children of the devil. The New Living Translation puts it like this. Anyone who doesn't obey God's commands and does not love other Christians does not belong to God. These Christians in Asia Minor were either reflecting the nature of God or the devil by the decisions they were making. The choices we are making either direct us toward God or away from Him. To obey God, to love our neighbor as ourselves, is a good measuring stick in helping us determine which Father we're imitating, the Heavenly Father or the evil one. Joe Guerrero got into a fight with her 5-year-old daughter, and the little girl got sent to her room. And after a couple minutes, Joe went and saw her, and the 5-year-old was teary and crying and says, "Why do we do wrong, Mommy?" And Joe said to her little girl, "Sometimes the devil tells us to do something, and we listen to him instead of listening to God." And the little girl said, "But God doesn't talk loud enough." If we find it difficult to hear God's voice in our lives, it's often because we've created distance. Are we moving closer or moving distant in our relationship with Jesus by our choices and actions? James 4:17, it says, "So whoever knows the right thing to do and doesn't do it, to them it is sin." Have you found yourself in this situation, at work, school, in your neighborhood? You know you should stand up for the person being bullied. You know you should stop the gossip instead of joining in. You know others are not being treated fairly because of the color of their skin or their economic standing or their gender. To not act in standing up for these who cannot stand up for themselves is wrong, and we know better. We know the right thing to do. In today's text, Apostle John instructs the churches in Asia Minor that Christ came to take away sin and destroy the devil's work, and that no one born of God who remains in Christ keeps on sinning. There's a difference between the person who sins and confesses it to God and makes things right with others, in contrast to the person who keeps on sinning like nothing happened. This is how we get hard hearts, ignoring the prompting of the Holy Spirit convicting us of sin. Someone once said, to make no decision is to have someone make the decision for us. We can easily justify or make excuses for the predicament we find ourselves in presently. But this is not helpful if we're not being honest about the direction our lives are taking. In God's kingdom, we each choose whether we will accept or reject his ways. The internal war that's going on inside of us will eventually come out in our day-to-day living by the kind of things we do and say. We do not deny the struggle within us, but there's only two places to turn for help. One is immerse ourselves deeper into the world with all its quick solutions of money, relationship, power, and addictions, hoping somehow that this instant gratification will soothe our empty and hurting hearts. To John, the permanent answer can only be found in an intimate relationship where we involve God in the day-to-day affairs of our lives. Sin conceals and blocks us from reflecting what God is like to a world who so desperately needs to experience his love. This evil will control, manipulate, and will leave us its servant. Ultimately, it'll destroy us. When we dabble in sin, we can even come to a place where we don't want to be rescued anymore because we've become content in the mud of sin that has entrapped us. As long as we have breath to decide, there's still time to move toward God. Let's pray. Jesus, we ask you to come and help with those habitual sins that have enslaved us. Come in your power and set us free from these bondages that ultimately want to destroy us. Every day we need you. We need you to help us. Help us to choose the way of the Father. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. may be seated. Sounds like my grandson. I'm going to do a benediction, a few announcements. They're going to sing one more song, then you'll be dismissed. Just a reminder this week, Youth Wednesday, 7 to 8:30. Here, there are groups running, which you can catch the webpage for that. We need more people signing up for ARC Sunday School to help us with teachers. Have you ever been in a situation where you felt tempted and then called out to God? What happens in those situations? You know what I find? All of a sudden now the presence of God is there. And I'm still not sure what to do. Temptation here, presence here. As you go under the sign of the cross, knowing as we draw nigh to God that he'll draw close to us. He's the one. We cannot do this. He's the one that helps us overcome. The pull is greater than what we can bear, but not when he's present. It changes the whole outcome. Amen.
Please stand if you're able and willing for our last song.
Begging, please.
symphony to my ears, like holy water. Everybody.